accession number 18496, Real 1.
Peter Willoughby, Real 1. Where were you born, please?
Born in North Allerton, North Yorkshire, or the North Riding.
Which year was this?
1922.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in North Allerton?
Yes.
How old were you when you left school?
16.
So that was in 1938?
That's right, yes.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
Doing?
I was in the rating department of our local council, or rural council.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
Yes.
Did you actually hear Neville Chamberlain declare war?
I heard a possibly a rebroadcast of it, but not the actual one, as over that weekend I was engaged in helping with the evacuees through the council, of course.
What work were you doing in relation to the evacuees?
Well, at the reception centre, making up food parcels for them and then issuing them to the evacuees.
What was in the food parcel?
I believe there was a tin of corned beef, some biscuits, I think the sugar, items similar to that. I can't be certain now exactly what was in them. In, they're all made up in carrier bags and each child received one. That says they were going to the their host.
Did you see the children going off to be evacuated?
No, we were in the reception area, so I only saw them. They came into our area by train, or coach, some of them. A train, I think, mainly, to various centres in the town, and I was at one of the schools. And then they were allocated to the various hosts.
What state were they in when they arrived?
Majority of them quite cheerful and sort of interested in the new surroundings.
Well, what kind of ages were they?
They varied from about junior school age. There were also mothers and small children up to teenagers.
So none of them were distressed?
Pardon?
None of them were distressed?
Not that I recall. There might have been the odd one that cried, but it wasn't a point of notice.
How did you feel when you heard the news that war had been declared?
I can't really recall it now. I think I was more or less prepared to hear it, really. From what I can recall, as what had been happening leading up to that time. At my age, I don't think I really appreciated what it was at the time.
So you didn't feel distressed at all?
No.
How did the war affect you at first, if at all?
I suppose it was to some extent an excitement. Then there was the original call-up, who one or two people who I knew, somebody I worked with, was called up. I think it was, age 21, I believe, was the first age. And then the only other change I noticed, they started the food office, food rationing, and I moved then into the food office. For the first issue of ration books, and from there on.
Can you describe more about the kind of work that you were doing as the war progressed, please?
Prior to the actual declaration of war, I had joined the ARP, Air Raid Precautions, as a messenger, and we'd attended various sort of instruction classes, mainly, if I recall, their main emphasis seemed to be on gas. And that I stayed in that, well, right away through to joining the Air Force.
Did Northallerton get bombed?
Yes, once. We had one actual... We had a number of bombs within the outside area in the rural, in the country area. Some quite early on, I think, about 1940, I think, will be the first. They dropped quite a few about 4 or 5 miles out. But they were quite audible from home anyway. And then we did have one night when we got one, two, three, four bombs right across the town. The railway station was machine gunned once or twice and left the top of the station like a pepper pot. there was, as I believe, as far as the bombs were concerned, there was only one casualty who was a soldier who was on sentry duty. Yeah, that's about it. I think that's the only casualty we had.
Where were you when the attack occurred?
Well, actually, the area warning had gone. I wasn't actually on duty specifically that night. And my father woke me. I won't describe what he said because it's not for publication.
It's all right, go ahead. Lots of people swear.
Well, I was acting as a sort of a hot water boy, if you like, between two bedrooms to keep beds in air condition. So he wasn't sure which room I was in. He went to the small bedroom, and the first thing I heard was the door banging and him swearing. And then he came into the room where I was and woke me up, and his view was, he said, "The buggers are here." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "They've set the bloody county hall on fire." I didn't believe him. I got up and looked out the window, and I could see the glow. They had, in fact, set the county hall on fire with incendiaries. So I immediately got up and went down to my air raid warden post, because that was in where the incendiaries were, was in our actual post area. No one there. So I went down towards the county hall, and on the way down what we call Racecourse Lane, I stood on something which rolled, and it was an incendiary bomb. There was none actually burning on the road. I went into what was was our cricket field, which was behind the police station. The police station was sort of here, the county hall was here, and the cricket field was in there. And met some of my group from the IRP post, and we started putting, with a shovel, putting soil over the incendiaries. In the midst of all that, the fire brigade were dealing with the fire, and I heard this aircraft coming down, or looking up from the field. It was a Ju-88, actually, I recognised it, in a shallow dive, and with that, the bombs went off, and I remember looking up, seeing all the debris flying, and a house silhouetted against it, which said to me, "They've missed us." In other words, the house was at the corner of our road, and it was against, silhouetted against it. And what did I do after that? I think I left there to come to see what was happening. And a bit of confusion, obviously. Got back to the sort of warden's post eventually, and the all clear went off duty. And as I'm coming back to my home, I found I was riding like an awful lot of soil, and in the road just behind us, a bomb had dropped in house garden of a house, blown the garage completely off the car, which found out later wasn't even damaged. And that bomb was well and truly within our ARP sector, and we hadn't recorded it. Not up to the point of me leaving the post anyway, we didn't know it was there. And that was the first one. The second one was on House Court, on South Parade, which partly demolished a house which had been occupied by an army unit up to a couple of days or so beforehand, but at the time it was empty, so nothing there. The next one had landed right in the middle of the circular sale ring in the cattle market, and the fourth one landed behind some houses further across, sort of in the stick, in the garden, in which there was a homemade air raid shelter. And the people in the air raid shelter knew a bomb had dropped close, but didn't know how close until they had to be dug out because the soil had filled the entrance up. No injuries. And this, by the time I got home that night, I think it was somewhere about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But that's the only bombs we had on the town itself.
When would that have been?
Oh dear, that was, let me think now. Might have been 41 or early 42, I'm not quite sure.
What was your address at the time?
My address? Lesbeck Street in Northallerton.
What kind of feeling did it create in the town to be under air attack?
Well, I don't remember any fear about it at all. Nobody was particularly afraid, as far as I can recall. I can't remember any reaction, really.
Any sense of indignation?
I think they were a bit peeved about that, but it was something which we expected, I suppose. But I can't recall any specific sort of reaction at all.
Did you have many servicemen, either British or foreign, in Northallerton and district?
Yes, we had various army units stationed within the town throughout the war, well, throughout the time I was still at home, various regiments. quite a few, of course, came in again after Dunkirk. So the bombs would certainly be after Dunkirk. But right away through, we had various units in town.
Remember the names of the units?
King's Own Scottish Borderers, one of the Welsh regiments, I can't remember any, really, I can't remember any more than those two, but there were different ones right through.
How did they fit in with the townspeople?
Quite all right, no problems. We never had any trouble at all.
Any POW camps in the area?
No, not close to. Later on, well, there were a number of Italian POWs working on the farm, but I don't know of a POW camp in close proximity to Northallerton.
Now, can you tell me how and when you came to join up yourself, please?
Yes, it would be 1941. Myself and another lady went we went through to Middleborough, actually, to the recruiting office, and signed on there. And then...
Why did you do that?
Well, I wanted to be in the Air Force. I wanted to join the Air Force. Quite a number of my sort of immediate sort of friends and colleagues had joined, so that was what I wanted to do. And I didn't really fancy the Army much, but I was more interested in the Air Force. And that would be September, I think it would be September 1941.
Was it easy to get in?
Yes, I didn't. Shortly after I went to Middleborough, I received a papers to a report to Padgate for assessment, which was over a period of 2 days, where we had, the usual tests, arithmetic or maths, general knowledge, and full medical. And we're sworn in then, and received our sort of service number. Then I was sent home. I went back home to await call-up. Now, the other lad that came with me, he was far more athletic than I was. He was in the first school, team, football team, and also cricket. Yet somehow he failed a medical.
Had you specifically volunteered for air crew?
Yes.
And what happened next?
I went home on what they termed deferred service, and I wasn't actually called up till the following September of 42.
Which month?
September.
And then what?
I went down to London, reported to Lord's Cricket Ground, where we were eventually kitted out and billeted in a block of flats at St John's Wood, where we went through a series of further medical inoculations and just generally sort of acceptance. And got your hair cut, of course, although I'd had mine cut the day before I left. I think the whole air crew ended up there really at St John's Wood, or at Lord's anyway. And our eating side of it was at the restaurant at the zoo, at Regent's Park Zoo.
Any memories from those days?
I got put on extra duties for I don't know what it was for, which was generally cleaning the block of flats close to us, ready for a reception of somebody else, of another group, another intake. I think that's about really all. We got around London quite a bit, but nothing really specific. The main one that I thought the MO doing the injections were a little bit sadistic, but I suppose they had so many to do they didn't bother a great deal.
And then?
From there, I went to, where did we go from there? Ludlow, to a holding unit at Ludlow, where we were under canvas. And we were there sort of on useful duties, as they termed it, virtually building the camp for those that came after us, I think. I think there was three units near, just outside Ludlow, all on the same basis. And we were putting in a drainage system and making the breeze blocks and building them up in a form so that you could put a marquee roof over the top for accommodation. And that was pretty basic there. We're in bell tents on rather low ground, and we had an awful lot of rain, and we virtually water was running under the duck pots. It was pretty basic. We were there about a fortnight, was it, something like that. And from there, we were posted to our respective initial training wings. And I remember, as we lined up and the flight sergeant was calling out the various postings, he got to me. Now, how he knew I came from Yorkshire, I don't know, but he obviously did. And he said, we were allowed to sort of make a preference if we wanted to. And I had put down for St Andrews because I'd teamed up with a bunch of Scottish lads who I'd met actually on King's Cross Station as we went into Lord's. So I thought, well, I'd rather go up there. And he said, should be going to Scarborough. I said, I've been there. I said, I want to go to somewhere new. Apart from which that I had relations very close to Scarborough. And I was keen in those days. And I thought, well, if I go there, I might be tempted to spend a little more time out than on the work. So apart from which, as I said, I knew Scarborough. And I wanted to be with the crowd I knew. So I ended up at St Andrews.
So this was the initial training wing?
Yes.
What happened then?
We did our normal 12 weeks training, and then there seemed to be a hold-up in the pipeline somewhere, and instead of going on from there, we were retained at St Andrews for a few weeks after that, doing nothing particular, really. We built, our course built an assault course down the end of the Royal and Ancient Golf Course, St Andrews, right down towards the point, and we felt very sorry for the people that were going to go around it, and we ended up by christening it.
Ended up?
By christening it, we're the first bunch to go around. And so we didn't do very much there at all. They sort of kept us busy with odd jobs and cross-country runs and this assault course business. But no more sort of actual training, because we completed the actual training course. And then from there, we were posted to I forgot the name of this, initial flying check at Perth. Well, Scone was the airfield, where we did an initial, about 12 hours flying, just to assess your capabilities and decide whether you were going to go. About that time, they brought in the scheme, the PNB scheme, the Pilot Navigator Bomber scheme, and you were assessed on your flying whether you were going to be one of those three. And we did about 12 hours on Tiger Moth at school.
How did you come out as a flyer?
Well, I got classified as pilot from there. And then from there went to Heaton Park at Manchester, where I think it was a sort of a collecting point for before you were sent out to the various Empire training schemes, and we were just hanging about there waiting for postings. And I was in private billets there. I can't remember the address there, but it's quite a little way from Heaton Park. And really, apart from the posting parade, we didn't do anything. I think we went on one sort of parade. There was a Wings for Victory or something, but other than that, we did virtually nothing. I was first put on a draft for Rhodesia, and then I was taken off that and eventually went to Canada.
Can you tell me about going out there, please?
Yes, we embarked on the Empress of Scotland in Liverpool, and bound for Halifax. Well, on the way over, there was apparently, this is purely hearsay, apparently some U-boat activity, so they diverted us, and we actually landed at Newport News in Virginia, in the States. Which was quite impressive, I remember. I remember the grass, green grass coming right down to the water's edge, and quite a lot of trees and very attractive sort of bungalows and that. Plus quite a number of the American naval fleet there too, which was one of their headquarters. And then we travelled from there to Moncton by train, which was, if I remember rightly, about 3 days. Arrived in Moncton on the 4th of July, 42, I can remember that.
4th of July, 1943?
Yeah, 43, yes, I beg your pardon, 43.
Yeah.
After a short stay there, I was posted to our elementary flying school at place number 13, EFTS, at St Eugene, which was in Ontario.
What did you find there?
We were flying a Fleet Finch. Now, I do have my logbook for the pilot side of it. I can get hold of that, but it won't tell you very much. And we did 12 weeks flying there. And of course, whilst I was there, I met my wife. Oh, well, she wasn't there, obviously, but that's when I first met her.
How did you come to meet your wife?
Well, we were only about, well, as a crow flies, 20-odd miles from the town where my wife lived, but a bit further to go by road. But as Brownsburg was an ammunition town, it had been greatly expanded during the war, and they'd brought in a very large number of workers, mainly women, or girls, I should think, and they built a camp for them with a recreation hall, all facilities, and we used to go over there every weekend. We got one weekend, 48 hours pass every other weekend, and the majority of us seemed to end up in Brownsburg for the weekends, where we were billeted in private houses. Which was quite pleasant, really.
And how, in general, did you get on with the Canadian civilian population at St. Eugene?
Very well.
Did you say it was called St. Eugene?
St. Eugene. E-U-G-E-N-E, I believe it is. And I know I got on with them very well. They were very hospitable and really, really friendly, and it was sort of home from home, really.
What was the flying setup like at St. Eugene?
Well, the Fleet Finch was rather an ancient type of aircraft, a biplane. In fact, the cockpit was bound with leather around the edge, and they stuck a Perspex coupe top on top of that. It was a very basic aircraft. Fairly heavy, certainly heavy on the controls. There's not many of them left. There is one in the air museum in Ottawa that I saw. Probably that's about the only one I should think will be left.
What kind of people were doing the instruction?
RCAF pilots. I don't think we had any RAF with us at all. I think they were all RCAF. Ground staff, that was civilian, French-Canadian. And a rather interesting point there was we had about three or four free French chaps on our course, and they had as much difficulty understanding the local French as we had.
What was the quality of the instruction like?
Well, I don't really know how to judge that. Pretty fair. Pretty good.
Did you have any problems yourself?
Not at that stage, no. Not that I was aware of.
Was Canada a good place to do pilot training in?
Yes. Well, as I say, I can't really judge on that, sort of having no experience of elsewhere, but I would say yes, it was. The weather was reasonable. As I say, most of my initial flying was in the summer. So what it was like in the winter, I don't know. It wouldn't be so good then, but the initial flying in the summer was okay.
Were there any accidents?
No. Not that I think we did have one where one aircraft landed on the top of another. And I think another guy was trying to show off to a girlfriend who lived on a farm, and he went straight in. I think that's about the only two I remember. Now, I can't be certain whether... I don't think that actually happened whilst I was there. I don't recall a direct accident.